And we are back. You're listening to 91.7 FM, WYXR. I'm your host, Devin Germain, and we have a special guest, Pastor Juan D. Shipp, and we'll be talking for the hour. So we just heard the Spiritual Harmonizers, and then we heard the Kingdom Heirs. So I am curious. So for the Kingdom Heirs, it sounds like there's a drum machine. Hey, the boss.
Yeah, the boss is checking up on you.
Yep.
The Kingdom Heirs was one of those groups that had that didn't have what you would call a full band, and they did have a drum machine that they used. And I thought it was a little unique, so we did it. I normally like to use the regular full drums, but I thought that was unique, so I enjoyed listening to them. They had a unique sound themselves.
Yeah, it really does stand on the record. And for the bass, was that an actual bass?
Yeah, that was an actual bass. Yeah, that was an actual bass. We did our best to try to keep it as back in the day as we possibly could back then, but new stuff was coming out all the time, and a lot of time groups would utilize that. And most of the groups that came to me, the only band that I had an organist, I had one that played the piano and the lead and the wah-wah guitar. Most of the time when a group came, they had their own instruments, and I would add on whatever was necessary.
Okay, nice. And I guess speaking of recording, how did you get into gospel recording?
Now, that is a situation. It really came up because I was a complainer. I was complaining about the fact that most local musicians that had records out, they didn't sound professional. They sound like they were kind of in a well. And I was telling my co-laborers in the DJing business, because I'd been in the business now for about 2.5 to 3 years, and I was complaining to Wade and to Nugene and to Fort Nelson that why is it our local groups don't sound professional? And they were saying that it was because of the studio that they were using, and most of the time a local group, they just went in and sang a couple of times and then was recorded, and it just didn't turn out right. I said, well, somebody need to do something. Why don't you guys, you know, just find something to make it better? They said, well, you're the youngest of the group. Why don't you get out there and find a studio and see about making it better? And that's what I did. It took me a while because I was trying to find a studio that I could utilize to and one that wouldn't cost an arm and a leg. I was one day down at the Greyhound bus station picking up something, and I saw a sign across the street that was at Hernando and Union, and it said Tempo Studios. And I went over and knocked on the door, no answer. And I did that a few times. Every time I would go there, I would get no answer. So I got tired of that, and I decided that I would ask some of the local businesses if they knew who owned it, how I could get in touch with them. And there was a little sundry store, a hamburger place right around the corner from the studio door, and I went in there. And I was asking the lady behind the counter about Tempo Studio, if she knew who owned it, and if there was any way that she knew how I could get in contact. While I was talking to her, this fellow comes from the back, and he walks up. He just stands up and just listens. He didn't say anything. He was just standing there. So after I told her what I wanted to do, I just wanted to do some recording, and I was trying to find out who owned the studio. And she looked, and she smiled, and she said, well, talk to that fellow right there. And, of course, I had to go through the same thing again with him, but it was Clyde Leppard. And he was a fantastic and unusual man. He was really nice. After I talked to him about it, he said, I've always wanted to record a gospel, and especially black gospel. So we talked, and we entered into a deal where after he took me up to show me the studio, we we decided that we'd work together, and that's how Divine got started. And, you know, the name came in an unusual way because I thought about my life, number one, mm-hmm. because of the things that I'd been through and how I had been blessed and so forth and so on, and everything that I go to do, and it always worked out fine, and it could have been nothing but divine intervention from the one above. And so, of course, that became the name. But I didn't want to belittle or mess up the word divine, so I took the I out, and I put a dash there. So it was D-V-I-N-E. And that was how I came up with the name of the label for the recording company. And I worked with Clyde for nearly 20 years, from the 70s and to nearly the 80s. I don't know, we just became partners, and we just had a fantastic time of working together. Eventually, I got to the point where I was the engineer, because he was still operating the store downstairs, mm-hmm. so I had to do it on my own. The first few, he helped me. But after that, because of my knowledge of radio and working with sound, and I in my musical background, I knew how to do everything. I just had to learn how to work the buttons. And yeah. at that time, we only had four tracks. Four tracks is all that we had. And that we had to do a lot of overdubbing. We called it now add-ons, but it's actually overdubbing. You mix down and then you create another track so that you can do it. And it was a job, it was work, but it was fun.
Nice. Mm-hmm. And for Clyde, he had a bit of a past too. He was with the Sneerly Ranch Boys.
Yes.
He was their manager at one point too.
Well, actually, he was not only the manager, but I think Clyde organized the Sneerly Ranch Boys, but now Clyde worked out of Sun, the Sun Studio, and I think that's what gave him the idea of building his own studio himself, because he was over there for quite a while. I don't know how long he was with them, but he was there for quite a while, and a lot of fantastic artists came through Sun.
Mm, yeah, and you worked with a lot of artists, Elizabeth King, Supreme Travelers, Elder Ward, and many more. So how was your relationship between them?
Well, you know, I did not try to do like most studios or recording companies do. They try to lock you down and control your life. I didn't want that to happen to the groups. I wanted them to know that if their record propelled them into another arena, good. I would be happy for them to go. And that's exactly what happened to the Canton Spirituals. Because they wanted to go professional. Mm-hmm. And after that first recording, they went professional, and they became a top-notch group, and it's still singing. The Sun now is with the Canton Spirituals. But I think now he's done like the William Brothers. He's branched out and singing with choirs and so forth now. So, but that's how you grow. You never stay the same. The Lord allows you to grow. And I think that's what happened to Divine, because once we recorded the first few groups, the word got out about the sound that we had, because we had a studio that was so tight-knit. Clyde's studio was really fantastic. It was small. It wasn't a great big one, mm-hmm. but it was so dead till you had to really just about talk real loud to hear each other while you was in the studio. Mm-hmm. It was just that good. And so it was a fantastic thing for all of our groups here in Memphis and the surrounding areas. And we had groups coming from everywhere, Detroit, Chicago, Mississippi, Arkansas. They were coming from everywhere.
They wanted that divine sound.
Yes, they wanted that divine sound. And we did something, too, that wasn't being done back in the day. We added the wah-wah.
Yeah, Wendell Wawa Moore.
Yes, yes, yes. He was a young fellow, about 15 or 16 when I heard him playing for the Joy of Memphis. Mm-hmm. And one day I heard him playing, and he wasn't in church anything. They were just playing, and he played that wawa, and I heard that. I said, wow, that'll sound good on gospel records, because they usually was putting wawa in blues, but they weren't putting it in gospel. I said, oh, this will sound good in gospel.
Why don't you think they were putting it in gospel?
It was because it was a different sound. It went, the wah-wah goes good with blues, mm-hmm. goes good with rock and roll. It goes good. And once it had become a signature thing in the blues, nobody wanted to pull it over into gospel. But me, I feel this way. Anything that makes a sound, anything that it ought to praise and worship God. So the wah-wah, it could praise God as well.
Right, yeah.
I remember the time they wouldn't put something like a saxophone or a trumpet in gospel, but they do now.
Yeah, that goes for a lot of genres, even rock and roll, yeah. Even jazz was considered the devil's music and stuff.
Yeah, so, you know, that's the good part about gospel. Anything that you use, if you do it spiritually, I don't care what kind of instrument it is, it can deliver a message. Mm-hmm. Now, something I've always wanted to do, I wanted to get the groups that I was recording, this is what I was working on, but it never did materialize, and I'm hoping and praying that one day it does. I would like to see gospel groups being in nightclubs singing gospel.
That would be something.
Yes. Because, yeah. You know, going to church, singing, you're singing to people who are already supposed to be spiritually inclined, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, go to the place where they need it the most, in the nightclub. So if I can get owner of a nightclub to allow Elizabeth come and sing a 20-minute skit in the club, we'll do it.
Yeah.
We had her to go to Paris. She went to Paris. She sang in clubs over there, and guess what? Well received. Mm. So it would be a great thing here in the United States for gospel to be in nightclubs, yeah. I believe.
And you and Elizabeth King, you guys have been friends for a long time. So how did you guys, you know, remain in contact for all these years?
Well, you know, that's another story too, because I tried to treat our artists as people, not as something or somebody to be used. So we were always on good terms. Like, for an example, Elizabeth and Pastor Jack Ward, we were all friends. We remained friends. I didn't do anything that would make a group dislike me. I tried to do those things that would elevate them. And this is what I did. So most of the groups that I dealt with, if they were still alive today, we could still work together. So, like Elizabeth, after about 50 years, she raised her children and all that, mm-hmm. and she had the opportunity of going in another direction. They wanted her to sing other music besides gospel, but she wouldn't take it. No, she wouldn't go. So, and she had, after she raised her children and everything, mm-hmm. along came divine intervention again. Along came Bruce Watson with Delta Sonic. And when he heard her masters that I had made on her, he just went bonkers. I love this sound. He loved it. And he said, is she still around? I said, yeah. Is she still singing? I said, yeah. He was amazed. He said, think we can get her in the studio? I said, sure. Now, Liz, she's a fantastic lady, and Liz is a homebody, believe it or not. After 15 children, you got to be a homebody. That means you're at home most of the time. But I called her and I said, Liz, you ready to go back in the studio? And she laughed. I said, somebody want to hear you in the studio. She said, you're kidding, you know. Liz, when she's talking, she got a small voice. But when she's around people, she knows she talk loud.
Yeah.
Oh, she's going to get me for this. But anyway, I told her, yeah, he really wants to hear you. So we set up a date for her to go into the studio. And shoot, she got behind that mic, man. And I'm going to tell you, Bruce he was ecstatic because she still had that beautiful melodious voice. Mm-hmm. And Now he done put out two albums on her. Yeah. And the third one's coming out next year.
Yeah.
So, you know, but divine intervention has been the thing. I keep talking about divine. I'm on radio now after 60 years.
Yeah.
again. And it's divine intervention because it gives me an opportunity to not only let my groups be heard from back in the day, but also those other groups from other places from back in the day. WYXR has given me the opportunity to represent these artists from back in the day.
And I believe it was through Jared that you got in contact.
Oh, don't mention that young man. I'm gonna tell you, one of my bosses, you know, he fires me a lot. I love him too. I love him. He fires me a lot, but he has a mother. See, now he's not married, so I don't have to worry about him. He has a mother. Her name is Miss Jan. She hires me back too. And then Robbie, these are young men too. These guys are young. I think Robbie just hit his 50th, didn't he? Somewhere.
You give him away his age.
Yeah, I talk about. He gonna fire me anyway. He always fires me. I always do something to get fired. That's, and you the cause of it. See, if you hadn't brought them up, but they are fantastic young men, and I was amazed that they would like to have me on the maiden voyage of WYXR. I was on from the inception, so three years I've been here and enjoying every minute of it.
Yeah, I mean, everyone was fascinated when they would find out about Divine Spirituals, because even, well, including Jared, that's how he found out about you.
Yeah.
And he was trying to get in contact with you, but also Michael Hurt, who was a musician and record collector, he found yourself.
Now he actually was the beginning of this whole thing, because what he wanted to do, he wanted to write an article about Divine, and he was trying to find out if the owner of Divine was still around, and he went through a whole lot trying to catch up with me. And then when he did, fate would have it that he got sick, and my material sat in Scott Beaumont's place for about 7 years. I mean, just sitting there. And that's how Bruce got a chance. He kept passing by and seeing all of those masters' tapes sitting up there, and he was curious about it. And next thing I know, Bruce was calling me. But it started with Michael Hurt out of Detroit. He came from Detroit looking for me.
Yeah, and luckily, because I watched Divine Intervention, which you can watch on YouTube, it's from Bible Entire Recording.
Yes, yeah.
But on there, you said that for the recordings, you found them at Clyde Lepper's place?
Yes.
Yeah, two weeks before
it
got leased, right?
Well, actually, what happened was that Clyde passed, and I did the eulogy for his funeral. His wife asked me if I would do it, because she say I made such a change in his life, and that really made me feel good because of our working together spiritually. And he had built a studio. He had left Hernando and built a studio in Olive Branch, Mississippi. And after his death, things just went downhill on the studio because nobody was there to utilize it. Mm-hmm. And so I never did get the opportunity to bring a group in the studio when he built it down there. But the studio was in disrepair, and the roof was leaking and all of that. Yeah. And a lot of stuff was just all messed up. But guess what? Every master that I had stored there was in immaculate condition. The weather and all of that, nothing bothered. And out of all of the groups that I recorded, we only lost two tapes.
Wow. Divine Intervention.
There you go. Divine Intervention. And, you know, it was meant for this to happen. It was meant for Jared to find me. It was meant for Michael Hurt to find me. It was meant for Bruce Watson to see those tapes. It was meant. All of that was meant. And look at it now. Elizabeth King and Jack Ward being back in the spotlight once again from 50 to 60 years ago. And I'm just thankful. And it's all done by God, not by me, but by God. And I give him all of the credit.
Yeah. And with that being said, I guess we'll play some more recordings and we'll get back to talking.
All right.
And we'll have to get off at the hour before both of us get fired.
That's right. That's right.
So stay tuned. You're listening to 91.7 FM, WYXR. And we are back.
Are we back?
Yeah. You're listening to 91.7 FM, WYXR. And I'm your host, Devin Germain, and I have been talking with the one and only Pastor Juan D. Schiff.
Oh, one and only, huh?
Yeah, well, one. You get what you got there? No. But, yeah, we just played Elizabeth King. Then before that, we played Elder Ward. And
yes.
That was one of Elizabeth's, that was her latest record.
Yes, that's the latest LP that came out. And she also have a video on that one, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And now, Pastor Ward, he's the late Pastor Ward now. But when I told him about the recording, he was just as amazed and shocked as Elizabeth was, because they thought I was playing. Because I am kind of a jokester sometimes.
Yeah, you kind of are.
But when Bruce found out that they were still around, he was amazed at it. And I'm thankful that he was. So, but now I also recorded choirs too.
Mm-hmm.
And we did that on location. We didn't bring them into a studio. Our studio was too small to host a choir. Yeah. So we had to go on location to record them. And we had a mobile van that we took with us and recorded quite a few choirs.
Yeah. And for Ward's recording, that wah was kicking.
Well, you know, Wendell, he was an amazing musician, mm-hmm. and he's still around. He's still playing. He's out of Los Angeles, California now. He plays for church up there. Also, he has the Fusion. I think it's called Fusion Band, okay. And he plays for various venues and festivals and so forth. So he's still doing good.
You've been able to keep in contact.
Oh, yes. We are still in contact with each other. Yeah, yeah. Like I say, I treated our groups in such a way that we left each other with no hard feelings. They, like the Southern Sons, they wound up going to another company, and mm-hmm. The Traveling Stars, and they went to another company because I phased out. When I phased out, they had to go somewhere else, and they were accustomed to good sound, so they was trying to find a studio that gave them a pretty good sound. So, but I was happy for them.
Yeah, speaking of you having good sound, what were some of the other essential techniques that you used when you were recording?
Well,
in addition to the wah-wah.
Yeah. Well, actually, now I had a drummer, mm-hmm. and if the group didn't have their own drummer, I had a drummer. He was fantastic. He was a young man as well. I used I was young back in the day. Okay, so we found those young men that were very talented, and we tried to utilize them. And the only edit that we did back in the day, because we didn't have anybody with horns that we could get in touch with to form a studio band, anything like that. Mm-hmm. But I did notice that the wah-wah would make a whole lot of difference in gospel music. Mm-hmm. And so Wendell played the wah-wah on quite a few of our group songs, as well as some of the choirs that we recorded as well. We put the wah-wah on it as well.
And you guys did, your groups did tour as well, as I saw in the documentary, but you had some not the best experiences touring, right?
Without a doubt. The reason why you would say that, because by you being young, you wouldn't have experienced some of the things that we did. Mm-hmm. Back in the day, when we were touring and going places, like we go to Kansas City, we go to Chicago, we go to Nashville, we go down into the Delta of Mississippi and places like that. And it wasn't easy to find a place where you could either stay or you could eat. Everything was, and you'd see a sign that says for coloreds only or for whites only. And we had to go through those type of things. So it was kind of difficult back in the day. But because we had somebody on our side that watched over us constantly, we had a real, real good trip. But there were some places that we went through that we'd never stop again. But that was just life.
Yeah, and your belief in Christ has gotten you like through a lot. And he's been by you.
Yes.
By your side, you know, for your whole life. So I guess, how did you get into pastoring? Because I know maybe initially you weren't completely sure about doing it.
I didn't want to be a minister because I saw some of the things that pastors, ministers went through. People are very strange. Those that you're trying to help can be the ones that can give you the most sorrow in your life. And I saw that happening when my dad was pastoring a church. And I had said, I will never be a preacher. And I meant that. A lot of times things you say you mean, you really don't mean them because you can't do nothing about them. But it weighed heavily on my mind. And when I was really told what I was supposed to do, and it was just as plain as day, and when I was told that I was supposed to go and preach, I went and told my mama, no, why I got to go. She said, well, I didn't tell you you had to go and preach. And she said, the next time that you hear that, it's not me. So it's got to be coming from somewhere else. So you check it out. That's the way she left it. And it did happen. And it worried me so bad, and I was young. I was about 12 years old then. Mm-hmm. And so I was supposed to have been preaching at a young age, but I didn't because I was hard-headed and stupid. And stupidity can get you into a lot of trouble. But when I did get old enough to realize what was happening in my life, the reason why things were going the way they were, I tried to, you know, find another excuse. So I talked to the Lord and said, you give me a sign so I know it's you.
Mm-hmm.
Don't ever do that. Don't you ever tell him to give you a sign, because you might not like the sign he gave you, because he gave me one, and I didn't pay any attention to it. And the next sign he gave me, it nearly took me out. Mm. I wound up in the hospital with cracked ribs and just all messed up. Mm. So after that, I didn't ask for no more signs. I did what he told me to do.
I'm good.
I'm good. You don't have to give me no more. You don't have to give me nothing. I know. So, you know, once you go through things like that, if you have a close relationship with God, he will fix you up. Now, you know, we do things that's wrong. He will forgive you, but he also going to whip you for it. He's going to let you know, hey, don't do that no more. So don't think just because he has forgiven you for the thing that you've done or the things you have not done for him, don't think you're going to get away with it, because he chastises his own, and he makes us realize who we are and what we are. And that's what he did for me, and I'm glad he did. So now, you know, I hear people talking about retiring. I'll never retire from the ministry. I'll always be trying to help somebody to know about the one that gave us life.
Yeah. So we only got about 4 minutes, but I guess
is
before
that a,
we
who won the clock up on us this time?
Let's see. Who can we blame?
I guess me.
I'll give it to Mac-Man.
Mac-Man. Oh, he always running up the clock. Yeah. He just can't help it. And I think Mac is in Jackson.
He's always DJing.
Yeah, he's in Jackson. One of his relatives is being inducted to the Hall of Fame, some type of Hall of Fame, and he's DJing nice. For the occasion. Yeah. That's nice.
Okay. Yeah. So, in other words, we might not see him on Saturday.
In other words, we might not see him Saturday, because I think we're gonna fire him, and then let the boss hire him back. What do you think? We always getting fired, so we can fire him. It has been nice. Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, thank you for accepting the offer. Because I know You know, it was something else for me to be interviewing you.
Yeah, well, the turnabout is fair play. I'm very proud of you because of the work that you're doing here at WYXR. It's just fantastic. And I thank WYXR for giving our young people an opportunity like this. And it's really, really great.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Pastor Ship. And to give a shout out to our show, you can check us out on Saturdays from 12
to tomorrow.
2 p.m.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
On WYXR.
Gospel Talk back in the day.
Yeah.
And we have some special guests for tomorrow. We have a young man that's honoring the legacy of Jimmy Lunsford.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to be on our show tomorrow talking about, because it's coming up soon, it's going to be at the Halloran? That's downtown, isn't it? It's Halloran Center next to the Orpheum. I think that's where it is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So they'll be honoring Jimmy Lunsford, and he'll be my guest tomorrow. They're doing something in the listening lab after the show, too.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be a good day.
Well, I guess like you say, sounds like a winner.
Yeah. It's going to be a good day tomorrow.
Yeah, again, thanks for coming on. And, of course, if you do want to get some recordings from, you know, Pastor Schiff, from either his Divine Spiritual record label or JCR Recording, and some new recordings from people like Jenny Ray Daniels and Elizabeth King, you can go to the website, Bible
Entire, and you can get the entire collection of all of the artists, and Pastor Ward's there, and all of the artists that we recorded from back in the day, they are there on volume 1, 2, and 3. And, of course, JCR 1 and 2.
Yeah.
I think there are some more going to be coming out, some more volumes going to be coming out. So it was quite a few groups that the Lord allowed me to work with.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you recorded a lot. Yeah, we're going to have a lot of volumes. But thank you, Pastor Ship. And I guess we'll get off there. This has been Devin Germain and
Pastor
Juan D. Ship.
Yeah, from Gospel Talk.
So stay tuned. You're listening to 91.7 FM, WYXR.